नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
फ्रॉम चैप्टर 11 द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म टेक्स्ट 1 अर्जुन उवाच मद अनुग्रहाय परमं गुह्यं आध्यात्मसंगितं यत्तत्योक्तं वचस्तेन मोहोयं विगतो मम. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Arjun said, by my hearing the instructions you have kindly given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been dispelled. Please repeat with me. Arjun said, this chapter reveals Krishna as the cause of all causes. He is the cause of the Mahavishnu, from whom the material universes emanate. Krishna is not an incarnation. He is the source of all incarnations. That has been completely explained in the last chapter. Now, as far as Arjun is concerned, he says that his illusion is over. This means that Arjun no longer thinks of Krishna as a mere human being, as a friend of his, but as the source of everything. Arjun is very enlightened and is glad that he has such a great friend as Krishna. But now he is thinking that although he may accept Krishna as the source of everything, others may not. So, in order to establish Krishna's divinity for all, he is requesting Krishna in this chapter to show his universal form. Actually, when one sees the universal form of Krishna, one becomes frightened, like Arjun. But Krishna is so kind that after showing it, he converts himself again into his original form. Arjun agrees to what Krishna has several times said. Krishna is speaking to him just for his benefit. So, Arjun acknowledges that all this is happening to him by Krishna's grace. He is now convinced that Krishna is the cause of all causes and is present in everyone's heart as the Super Soul. Om. Hare Krishna. So here we are seeing in the purport how Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna is the source of all incarnations. He is not just an incarnation of Vishnu. And Arjun is saying that his illusion is completely over. That is, he is no more accepting Krishna as an ordinary person, ordinary human being, but as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from this verse till 8th verse, we are seeing that how Arjun is asking Krishna to show his universal form and how Krishna agrees to it and starts showing the universal form of himself. In the second verse, the translation is where Arjun is again requesting, O lotus-eyed one, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glories. So, here, he has already heard, Arjuna has heard in the 10th chapter that how Krishna is the origin of everything, the whole cosmic manifestation, and the cause of its dissolution. He maintains it, he creates it, he makes it unmanifested. So in this way, he is completely in control. Before that, in the 9th chapter, Krishna has already said that how he pervades the whole cosmic manifestation and still he is aloof of it. So here Arjun is completely acknowledging that though Krishna is the source of all the manifested universe, he has created it, he maintains, he annihilates it. By his desire, everything happens. He is present everywhere. Still, he is aloof. So, he accepts that all living entities are manifesting or unmanifesting by his will, but he is different from all of them. Then in the 3rd verse, he goes on requesting, O greatest of all personalities, O supreme form, although I see you here before me in your actual position as you are, as you have described yourself, I wish to see how you have entered into the cosmic manifestation. I want to see what that form of yours. Because the whole 10th chapter, Krishna is saying that how he is the source of everything in whatever which a person can see. The 10th chapter starts with Krishna saying, I will let you know what are my vibhutis. Why Krishna says that? Because Arjun asks that, how am I? First, in the beginning of the 10th chapter, Arjun accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead after listening 4 verses which are called Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. And after that, he completely accepts that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he expresses his desire that how is possible that I can always think of you? In which all the ways I can always think of you? And Krishna is a very practical person. He doesn't want us to at once jump. He agrees that you start from where you stand. So he gives a practical way of how we can always think of him. And he gives the surroundings that whatever you see, by just seeing all those things, you can remember me. And he says, among all the animals, I am the lion. Among all the trees, I am the vatavriksha, the ashwatha tree. And like that, he goes on counting different examples. Why this particular things? Because vibhuti means how he controls everything. That opulence of Krishna by which he controls the whole universe. So among all the animals, the lion is the controller of all the animals in the animal kingdom. If by somehow, if the lion is not there, slowly in the animal kingdom, the anarchy comes and the whole equilibrium gets disturbed and eventually destroyed, and nothing exists. Similarly, the whole ecology is centered around the vatavriksha, the ashwatha tree. If that tree is not there, then so many trees which get shelter around that tree, they don't get their food, their nourishment. And in due course of time, all of other trees go on getting diminished. Similarly, Krishna goes on describing among the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva, among the Adityas, I am Surya. And like that, he goes on describing various things which we every day see. And among all those things, he is the one who is the center. He is sharing his opulence with that particular animal or that tree or that thing, so that he controls the whole surrounding around. And in this way, he controls the whole universe. Now, theoretically speaking, that is very fine. Arjun is convinced. It makes a lot of sense. But you can say, any intellectual person can say like that. That I am that, I am that, I am that, I am that. He has to just know what controls that surrounding, that situation. And he can say, oh, I am that. So he is getting a desire that, okay, theoretically I accept. And for me, the word you have spoken is non-different than seeing. It is called performative utterance. If a judge says, hang him, he will be hanged, right? Why? Because his words have the power to execute that activity. So the word and the activity are non-different. And that's why it is called performative utterance. That utterance has the power to perform. That's why it is called performative utterance. So, as far as Arjun is concerned, for him, Krishna is the performative utterance. He has seen, he just listens and understands everything. He's a first class person. First class intelligence is that intelligence which just listens from a proper person with proper character and accepts. Yes, I accept whatever you are saying. But people in general are not first class. They are second class or third class or fourth class. So, for people like us, Arjun is concerned that, okay, I can hear and understand and accept and follow. For me, hearing and seeing are non-different. But there are a lot of people for whom hearing and seeing are different. Some of the people will say that, no, I believe in what I see. I don't believe in what I hear. Because they have not seen or gone so deep with a person who has such a deep character. Like Arjun is so close. He has a very high character. He's a pure devotee. He's a self-realized soul. And here he is with Krishna, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of Krishna's mercy, he is able to completely perceive who is Krishna. So for him, there is no problem in just hearing and understanding and accepting. But for others who are second class or third class or fourth class, what do we mean by second class or third class or fourth class? Second class means he just by hearing does not understand. He has to see that it is happening with something like stealing is bad. He hears, but he does not accept. But he sees one person is stealing something. He is caught. He is beaten. He says, okay, it is bad. So he does not do it. That is second class intelligence. Third class intelligence is, he says, okay, so what is the problem? He is caught, he is bitten. I am not caught, I am not bitten, so I can steal till I get caught. So he steals, and after stealing, he is caught, then he is bitten, then he says, okay, stealing is bad. That is third class intelligence. But in Kali Yuga, this is a yuga of fourth class people. People in general, they will hear stealing is wrong. They'll say, so what? Just forget it. This is all theoretical. Then they see somebody is caught and beaten. They'll say, oh, he was fool. I am not fool. I can steal and I have intelligence to protect myself. Then he steals, he is caught, he is beaten. Then he says, okay, this was, you know, right now my time is going bad. My stars are not favorable. And actually I did this mistake now. But now I have, you know, all knowledge what went wrong last so many times. So now I'm not going to do the same mistake and I can make my fresh attempts of stealing again. So that's the fourth class of intelligence people. So for such type of people, those who are in first class, they would like the truth to settle down in such platforms so that even people of second class, third class, fourth class, people can start towards God realization from where they stand. We can't just go to a third class or fourth class person and say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accept and jump. Oh, he won't jump. Probably he will frighten us so much that we have to jump. So, what's the way out? Way out is, here the pure devotee is concerned that he wants to make Krishna available in such a manner that even the third class, fourth class people, the second class people can appreciate Krishna and start from where they stand. So here, Arjuna is concerned about people in general, that they will not just hear and understand. I have heard the whole 10th chapter. I have understood. I have no doubt. He is saying, I am completely disillusioned by your mercy, by your instructions. But those who are not, people in general are not going to accept like that. So for people in general, I want to see exactly how you have entered into all these places where you are saying that among the animals you are the lion. So how you have entered, how you have entered as the potency of that lion, how you have entered as the potency of the sun and controlling all the planetary systems. So like that, he is exactly trying to see. Now that's a very, very difficult proposition. We would like to cover all the verses so that we can see from all the 8 verses together the whole picture. So here he is saying, I want to see that how you have entered into all this. And in the 4th verse he says, if you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form. Now he is humble enough. He doesn't just order that I want to see. He says, if you think that I am capable, I can behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited form. He is so intelligent. He has an understanding that he cannot see. And that's why he is addressing Krishna that, O master of all mystic power. Because Krishna is so mystic that though he is infinite, he can present himself in such a way that an infinitesimal living entity can see him. The infinitesimal, the living entity, can see the infinite by the grace of the infinite. So he is pleading that you have already done so many favors to me. You have explained everything to me. Now, will you kindly show me that form so that for people in general, for all time to come, they have no doubt that I just heard the theory only. I saw the practical example that Krishna showed that form, showed how he controls everything. He sustains everything. Without his sanctioning, nothing happens. That's the universal form. So here he accepts that just by his own eyes he won't be able to see the form of the Lord. And this form of the Lord cannot be seen by mental imaginations or just by this fleshy eyes or blunt senses. It needs the revelation from the Lord. When Lord reveals himself, then the living entity sees God. It is not that when the living entity wants to see God, he can see God. So when Arjun submits himself in such a humble spirit, then Krishna agrees to it. Now, Arjun's pleading for this form to be seen is really a very, very big proposition, very, very difficult proposition. It is most rigorous of all experiences existing in the entire creation. It's something like what Arjun is proposing if we want to perceive. Just suppose we have to see Virar to Churchgate in a local train, sitting at the window seat, having a glass, not a plain eyes that, you know, it just moves in a flash. You are just seeing trees moving and this, that, and, you know, you are not able to distinguishly see anything. You are able to see everything. You have a very strong glass that you can see everything very, very clearly. Though the train is moving very, very fast, you see everything from Virar to Churchgate, and not in 1.5 hours, but just in 1 or 1.5 minutes. You see everything. How difficult that experience is to see by the eyes. It's like a person will almost become mad. And what if he has to see Kanyakumari to Jammu Kashmir in 1 minute? It's like a horrible experience. He will feel a torturous experience. And what if he has to see from Baku to Vladivostok, the longest train route in Russia? If he has to see that in 1 minute, everything he is able to see. And it's just passing. Going. He is like bewildered. The person, if he does not become mad, is a surprise, isn't it? But what if he has to see the whole earth in 1 minute? My God, it's like a maddening experience. He sees everything very clearly, but going very fast. Here, Arjun is not just seeing one earth. He's seeing right from the Patal Loka up to Brahma Loka, all the planets of the whole universe. He sees all different oceans. He sees all different planets. He sees every part of the whole creation sitting at one place in just few moments, just few minutes. And he is so perplexed. He's trying to describe what I am seeing. But what happens, like sometimes it happens when somebody is doing Hindi translation downstairs and the speaker here speaks very fast. So what happens downstairs, he wants to say everything what is going on above, but he can't say everything. So what he does is, he just repeats the one sentence, the first sentence again and again and again. And that is what happens when Arjun is trying to describe what I am seeing in the form of the Lord. He is again and again saying, lot of mouth, lot of hands, lot of eyes, lot of legs. And time and again he is saying that only. Lot of serpents, all the demigods are crying, all the saints are saying, trahi, trahi, pahi, pahi. And like that, everybody is perplexed. So he is saying the same thing again and again and again and again that we will find in the further verses. He is so much excited, so much thrilled. So, he is getting such an experience, and it is not that he's very happy. It's a very, very horrible experience. How it is a horrible experience, just an example of that. Something similar to what Arjuna is proposing to see the universal form of the Lord, somebody else also proposed. And he was Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi wanted to see what is the power of Maya? And he prayed to the Lord, and Lord appeared in front of him, and he said, I want to see the power of your Maya. And Lord said, you want to see the power of Maya? Are you crazy? Can you behold? He says, yes, I can behold and see the consequences. He had the life span of 9 days of Brahma. So he lived 1 day of Brahma, and during the night of the Brahma was the dissolution time, and the whole dissolution came, and he was tossed by the waves of dissolution. He was getting thrashed by different waves of dissolution. He was going up and down, and he was thrashed here and there. And he was so perplexed that he didn't want to live only. He started crying, Lord, please save me. I made a very foolish desire. I don't want to see this form again. I don't want to see the power of Maya. Now here, Arjun is asking to see the power of Krishna. Not just Maya. Much more than Maya is Krishna. And Arjun is trying to see that here at one place. In few moments, what is going to happen? At least Markandeya Muni had a lot of time in which he was going to have that experience. But for Arjun, that was not a long time. Within 1 hour, the whole Bhagavad Gita got concluded. 11th chapter out of 18th chapter, just divide, it will get finished in 3-4 minutes. So in 2-3 minutes, practically, Arjun had the whole experience of seeing the whole universe. Everything. Much more than the Markandeya Muni had. So what would have gone to Arjun? Markandeya Muni became almost mad. Though he was a self-realized soul, he was seeing God. What to say of us? No hope. We can definitely claim, before that only better not to try. But here Arjun, he went through it. So naturally he will become fearful. Though he was a self-realized soul, though Krishna is his friend, though he knows nothing is going to be wrong, still. So really, he is making a very, very daredevil type of proposition to Krishna. But Krishna knows Arjun's heart. Why he is saying so? Arjun is saying for his compassion for the other living entities, like you and me. He wants to make Krishna available for all of us, for our understanding, not just the theory, but the whole universal form. And thus, Krishna is speaking. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjun, O son of Pritha, see now my opulences. Hundreds of thousands of very divine and multicolored forms. O best of Bharatas, see here the different manifestations of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashwini Kumaras and all the other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen or heard of before. O Arjun, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything moving and non-moving is here completely in one place. But you cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence." And Krishna starts showing his universal form. So, here the form, Krishna himself starts describing and then he shows the form. So, all the living entities, all the higher living entities, all the other living entities, all are in the body of the Lord. Not all the living entities only, all the places also are there in the body of the Lord. Not just that, all the times, past, present and future also there, right there in front of Arjun. And Arjun is seeing not a big screen. He is seeing that form all around. He is seeing infinitely many forms of the Lord. Infinitely many hands. Infinitely many heads, mouths, eyes, hands, legs. And he is seeing all the demigods, all the prajapatis, all the rishis, all the living entities. Here we are seeing the Adityas, Rudras, the Vasus, Ashwini Kumaras, all the demigods, all are there. So all are there as the part and parcel of the Lord. Now Arjun can see that right in front of him. Now, in cinema, the most inexpensive ticket is just in front of the screen. Because just in front of the screen, it's very horrible to see, Like a person his head spins like anything. So nobody wants to sit just in front of the screen. The most expensive tickets are right at the behind, Behind ones are the most expensive ones. Because from there you can very soothingly see. Now, here, Arjun is like just sitting in front of the screen. And not just the screen. It's not a small screen. It's like all around the same screen. And not just a simple screen. It is a 3D screen. He is getting a special eyes, like in 3D cinemas, you get a special glass to see the 3D effect. So similarly, here, Krishna is giving an eye by which Arjun can actually see. So he is getting a 3D effect right in front of the screen all around, and dub, 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 it is just going on. So he is really bewildered after seeing it. So, and such a rigorous experience, he is not willing to take. He has no personal desire to take. It is just his compassion that he wants Lord to be perceived by people in general, the other living entities. So, by Arjuna's requesting like this, Arjuna is establishing two things. Number one, that Lord can be not only heard through the theory of 10th chapter, but actually seen through the 11th chapter, the whole Vishwarupa. And second is anyone who claims himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead in future. There are many people who claim themselves to be Krishna. And in Kali Yuga, this is like widespread. There are so many people in Bengal who claim themselves to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many people all over India. Little mystic power, little more power than people in general, they start claiming themselves to be God. They will say that same Krishna, same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, same Ram, I am the same. So, here is the condition. They have to show the universal form. So, one such person, such one follower of one such God, met me in a train and he said, my guru is God. I said, has he shown his universal form? He said, yes, my guru has shown a universal form. I said, to whom? There is a king, he said some name, and he said, to him he has shown the universal form. So, you know, I started thinking, what form he really showed? So I asked him, what is the form he showed? What is called the universal form? What idea you have about the universal form? Universal form means everything of the universe is there in that form. Whether this guru knows the whole creation how it is given in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is so difficult to be understood by the best of the whole all scholars for all times to come. It is most difficult thing to even perceive. Sukhdeva Goswami, who is explaining Srimad Bhagavatam fifth canto, he is saying that, Parikshit Maharaj, I am explaining this creation, these intricacies of creation. It is very difficult to understand. And the all intricacies of it is extremely difficult to explain, practically impossible to explain. I am just explaining as I have heard from the authorities. So he is just doing the basic needfuls. So explaining the creation itself is practically impossible. What to say of showing it actually, visually? It's not a cheap thing. It's completely extraordinary phenomenon. If a person sees that, he will become a mad person. Or he has to be a pure devotee. No ordinary person can behold it. So this so-called God, he cannot even describe what is there in Srimad Bhagavatam 5th canto. He cannot explain, though it is given. So if he cannot theoretically describe it, what is the question of his showing that form? Why we should be bewildered or taken aback by that? There are many so-called gurus in India who at the name of so-called universal form, they show some form, hypnotize the person and claim themselves to be God. And they get a lot of cheap followers like that. But that is not a cheap thing which Arjun is asking and Krishna is showing. He is showing the whole universal form, which is now explained, and it is explained in a very concise manner in 11th chapter. But whole second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining the whole intricacies of universal form, and it is so detailed that how the hairs of the body of the universal form are the trees, how the blood flowing are the rivers, and so much detailed. It's like so difficult to even understand for any common person, for even that so-called God. He will not dare explaining those verses. What to say of actually showing those verses? And here, one most beautiful thing is, because Arjun is having firm faith on Krishna to accept whatever Krishna has said, because he has faith, a very beautiful thing Gaurang Prabhu says, that if you have faith on whatever you are listening, then through that faith, when it matures, you can actually see those things on which things you have the faith. Earlier, you just have the faith that yes, it is right. But when the person advances, then in due course of time, he actually sees the truth. Yes, how it is. Truth. So here, in 10th chapter, he heard the different opulences of Krishna and he accepted by faith. But now in 11th chapter, he's seeing those things exactly happening in front of him. So this is a hope for all of us that if we put our faith on this transcendental words of the Lord, then there will be a day when our faith will lead us to a day when we can see actually those things on which we put the faith happening right in front of us. Hare Krishna. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Any question? Huh? Any questions or comments? Huh? No. This Divya Chakshu is eyes which is not just this fleshy eyes. It's the eyes which all the demigods have. When Krishna showed his universal form, all the different demigods, all the self-realized souls, they could see Krishna's universal form because their eyes had transcended this fleshy perceptional eyes. Actually, there are a lot of truths happening on the higher dimensions which these eyes cannot perceive. So, like the deities. Deities do a lot of activities, but we cannot see. Why? Because they don't do the activities on a simple dimension on which we see the things. So we see that they are just still, but the deities are hyperactive. They do a lot of things. So to see those activities, we need that spiritual eyes. And here, Prabhupada is writing in the purport that one does not need any imagination to see the universal form, or does not need some extra power of the senses to see the Lord. It is the spiritual eyes by which a person sees the spiritual truths. And that develops by the mercy of the Lord. So that eyes are what is given by Krishna to Arjuna to see. The same eyes were given by Vyasdev to Sanjay. So he could see also the universal form. So next verse and on, from ninth verse, Sanjay is explaining to Dhritarashtra that what form Krishna is showing to Arjuna. So at the end, Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita that anybody who submissively serves his guru by the way Sanjay served his guru, Vyasdev, anybody who serves his guru by the grace of guru, he can get this spiritual eyes and see the form of the Lord. The way Sanjay said, saw by the blessings and the grace of Vyasdev. Any other question? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.